Going to be in Psalm 139 this afternoon. Psalm 139. If you are like Solomon, and the Lord said to you, whatever request that you have, let me know. What would you ask God for? What would you request of Him? In this Psalm, Psalm 139, David reminds us that God is all everything. He's all knowing, He's all seeing, He's all present. He knows all of our actions and our thoughts. Verse 1, O Lord, You have searched me and You have known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all of my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. God's presence is everywhere. He even knows about places we certainly don't. Verse 7, where can I go from Your Spirit? Or where can I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, You are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there Your hand will lead me, and Your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to You, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to You. God knows the formation of us. He knows where we're going. He knows where we've been. Verse 13, for You have formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in Your book were written all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. So you read all of this and you think about all the questions that you can ask a God who knows all of this, who is all of everything, all present, all knowledgeable, all powerful. And this is David's request in verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. What the future holds and the uncertainties in that and the uncertainties that we have right now are very important things to us, and we can prioritize these things a lot. But I'd like to remind us what Jesus says in Matthew 16 and verse 26. He says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. And that's this clause here. What does it matter if? That's a big thing to think about. What does it matter if we achieved all that we ever wanted to achieve? Or what does it matter if we did what we wanted to do? Or what does it matter if we went where we wanted to go? Or if we knew what we wanted to do? Or know? Or if we had what we wanted to have, except we lost our soul? God knows the answer to all of the questions that we could ask Him, but more importantly, He knows what true profit is. And He knows how one keeps their soul. And He knows how us being repaid for our deeds at the end of this life doesn't have to be a terrifying thing. And it all lies in His Word. His written Word, we read in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord, but also His true and living Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1 and verse 14. The Word of God, His written Word, His living Word, puts us on and teaches us how to walk in the everlasting way. And God tells us that's what's going to matter at the end of this life. If we are people whose lives have changed, and if we've put on Christ, they certainly have changed for the better, then it's time for us to change. And that means, talking to myself here, that means my priorities as well. You think about David. David could have pursued anything that he wanted. He's a king. He had a lot of resources at his disposal. But the treasure he says that he wants to pursue is the way of righteousness. If we have the ability, if we had the ability to do anything, to go anywhere, if the entire world was at our fingertips, it's not as important as the things that we can learn from what's just within arm's length. Isn't that a blessing? And walking in that. Solomon, we began talking about, he tasted of every desire and he asked every question. And the conclusion that he came to, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, is to fear God and to keep His commandments. Because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, whether everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Out of all of the questions that we could ask God, God has given us the answer to the most important one. David asked, teach me the everlasting way, and he has. Now, he does expect us to follow it. And what is our response to him? If you this afternoon are ready to begin that walk in the everlasting way and would love to put on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do so. Please come forward and be baptized while we stand and as we sing.